The Waini writers acknowledge and pay our respects to the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians whose ancestral lands we gather on. We acknowledge the deep feelings of attachment and relationship of the Kaurna people to country and extend this acknowledgement to Torres Strait Islander and all First Nations people. We respect and value their past, present and ongoing connection to the land and cultural beliefs.
This podcast episode includes content that is not suitable for ages 16 and under, such as swearing and sexual content.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Waini Writers. I am Abby Guy.
And I am Harry Stewart.
And we are back for episode four.
Four already. Look at us go.
Yeah, it feels like it's gone really quickly, and that's because it has.
A month of the Waini Writers.
Yay.
Look at that. First major milestone. young teenagers in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, month anniversary.
Oh my God, we're celebrating 30 days. In reality, it's been 2 weeks because we record these in batches.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, today Harry and I thought that we should probably talk about writing.
Yeah, well, it's kind of our namesake.
It is our namesake. We have Waini Writers in the name, and we've talked a little bit about writing, but we haven't talked in depth about writing, specifically our writing, what we write, how we write, our thoughts on writing.
Yeah, because we've done a lot of academic stuff, actually.
We have done a lot of academic, but I want to talk more like...
Fiction.
Fiction. Being authors, wanting to be authors, all of that.
What do we write? Yeah.
Yeah, what do we write?
Like to write.
That sort of stuff.
So kick us off. What's your favourite style of writing? Let's go straight, fucking gun-ho, straight in.
fucking
gun-ho.
Should we start with, like, what we've written?
What we've written, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. So what have you written?
Oh, God. Oh, I said in our first episode, I write dragons.
Yes, you love dragons.
And so I'm really into fantasy writing, and so I've written a lot of dragons. I actually much prefer short story format.
Yeah.
Like, I would call myself a short story
like flash
writer.
Fiction or short story?
Flash. What would you define the difference as?
Flash fiction is, I think, commonly believed to be below 1,000 words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, short story between... like above the 1,000 up to like the 7,000-8,000.
Right.
Like,
yeah, see, I'm flash fiction.
Yeah, like the quick one.
Like quick ones. Yeah, yeah. I really enjoy flash. Obviously, my dragon stories and stuff like that are short stories because they've been for assignments. And they have like a larger word count. But I really, really enjoy flash fiction. So writing in smaller scale. And that's normally what I lean to. But I can't do that anymore because...
It's novel time, baby.
It's novel time. We're writing novels now, so...
And novels are hard.
Novels are hard.
Novels are really hard, but I was still... Yeah, we'll go into that, but I want to state by saying that, one, I've read a lot of Abby's work over the years. Lots of it. And by that, we've workshopped it. Abby's shown it to me in early draft stages, like first draft thinking type vibes.
Mm-hmm.
She is a tremendous writer. I would admit. Look at that first compliment.
You have to say that.
First
it's on the pod.
Compliment. Yeah, it's on the pod. There you go. It's
I would
stamped.
Like to reciprocate that
and
say that you are a very good writer, Harry.
But flash fiction is fucking
hard. Going to toot all of the horns in
this
room.
Yeah, tooting all the horns. Like, burr, burr. If we had a horn sound, that'd be lovely.
We don't have a horn sound.
We don't have a horn sound.
We just have this.
Oh, there we go. The gays. That's it. Unicorns. Woo,
unicorns
look at us go.
And fairies. But yeah, so I normally write, oh God, this is very messy from the get-go. Just not even
but we
waiting.
Love it.
Yeah. You can tell it's our second one of the day. I normally, flash fiction, short stuff. I really like to get into, my last flash fiction was about a man growing tomatoes in a garden.
What was it really about?
It was really about disloyalty in relationships.
Infidelity.
Infidelity, yeah. And like addiction.
Yeah, see?
But, yeah.
You love that stuff.
I love that
Your
sort of
symbolism,
stuff.
Especially in flash fiction, that's really fucking hard.
Yeah, so that's what I like to write. But what do you like to write?
I like to write big, messy, over-descriptive novels.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a long-form kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I really fucking hate short stories, which is so ironic.
Is there a reason you hate short stories? It's just hard to mash all of your ideas into that space?
Yeah,
or?
I always think I go for a big think. Like I'm a big ideas person.
Yep.
And I'm more, and I can never quite get it into the short form because I want to tell you what the truck looks like.
Yeah.
Like I want to, birds and trees and like really good character descriptions. I want to take you away and really show you a world. And I feel like I can just never get that literary form that works so well in flash fiction, because you can write literary, and that is a skill set.
Yeah, well, I didn't think I did.
No, I could do purple prose, don't get me wrong.
I love purple prose.
But you can do literary fiction. You could definitely write literary. Your flash fiction just has this like eloquence to it.
I know this is
like
hype me up for this.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, am I just, yeah, we're, I just go back to being a dick.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, excuse me, this Harry's really nice and I don't know how to deal with it.
But no, there's a skill set that comes from that. And like, I know that you don't quite like long form.
I hate long form.
Yeah.
I can't say that because I'm now writing a novel and it's part of the PhD and I have to write long form.
Toughen up.
Yeah. Like, get over it.
Get over it.
Yeah. I really need to do that this year. I need to get over it. But I don't like long form. And that's probably because I'm terrible at character development, I think. I think in short form, there is character development and it can be done really well in a shorter form as well. But like, I can just give a little snapshot.
And you also pull back a bit.
Yes, right? you pull back. Yeah.
Your perspective, your POV is a little bit further back.
It is.
In flash fiction. Yeah. Where you can kind of see a little bit more without having to describe it.
Yeah. I don't need character backstory dumped in there, which, you know.
Which is infuriating.
Yeah. I just feel like I can give this tiny little snapshot in moment without having to deal with an entire story arc.
Vignette style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so novels don't work for me yet, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
I've written some flash fiction. It's just messy.
It's like, good.
It kind of reads like a synopsis.
You reckon?
For a larger piece of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people have submitted work
because you always have that
to.
Larger piece of work in mind.
Yeah. 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 I think it's because I tried and squished the idea down to vignette style. Because I remember in school you really want a scene from something. So just describe that, the 30 seconds of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember writing a story back when I was younger, a vignette, which was, had to be about 1500 words, I reckon.
Yeah.
And it was about the moment, it was about a mother washing her dishes on her property out on the farm.
Yeah.
And the military police car comes up and he's got news saying that her son's died in the war. And it's...
Her dramatic.
Washing the dishes, looking out the window as he drives up the gravel, and her answering the door and seeing the letter and knowing exactly what it means.
That's an amazing short story. And it's amazing flash
fiction.
It's such
a short piece of work.
You get so much, you know so much in that moment. And I'm sure you played with her emotion and that sort of stuff. So you would have known what her relationship with her son was like. You would have known whether she was expecting this news. You would have known whether she was... really anxious before the letter even came in the way that she was doing the dishes, right?
Yeah, and it was based on a movie scene in a war movie with Mel Gibson.
Right.
Where they do that. They go and deliver the messages.
Mm.
And it was heartbreaking. I just remember watching them saying, I think it was when we were, I can't think of what the movie's called. It's got Mel Gibson in it. Pretty sure it does.
Yeah.
All I remember is the song that was in it. I'm not singing, but
can you give us a line, Harry?
I remember the scene so vividly. And then I wrote a vignette about it, yeah. And I think that was the only piece
obviously
of flash fiction
I
really liked.
Obviously made impact on you to do that, yeah.
Yeah, I still remember it to this day. Like, it was a piece of work that I actually quite... Yeah, I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
But you just have to hyper... It's so hyper-focused, I think, flash fiction, on very specific elements of the story you're trying to tell. And I think I'm always a bigger picture person.
Yeah, see, I always start off normally with, like, a simile or a metaphor or... Like, there's normally one line that I really want to write.
Yeah.
And then I just branch into something a little bit smaller off of that.
But there are some people...
I see words, so like...
You do. You get every... Like, every word in your work has meaning.
Keep complimenting.
Oh, wow, look at that, yeah. I'm also just calling you like a dictionary. Like,
you are, yeah.
You know, words have got meaning. Every word you use has a meaning. Sometimes I write gibberish. You know, like, you tend to lean into the idea of making sure that everything is impactful.
Yeah, but I feel like that's easier in short form. Once it gets large, I feel like details that just do not matter slip in.
Yeah, that's fair, but that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
I think in large form, I work out my characters and my plot by just writing. I do it very organically. I am not a planner. I just decide I'm going to sit down with a rough idea about what's going to go on, and then the world just takes shape as I write and I write. And I need space for that.
I was going to ask you that next as well, is when you are tackling your larger form, like your novels, how do you do it?
Really slowly.
Over many, many years.
Over decades if need be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember starting a fantasy novel that I'm writing at the moment. Yeah. And there'll be absolutely no clues as to what it's about, because you'll have to wait.
To wait for that, which will be many years.
At this point. Many, many years more than the many, many years it's already taken.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember starting it and going, oh, I can't believe that some of these fantasy authors took 10 years to write that book. I'm crushing this.
Yeah. Right.
And then five years later, so and I'm like, fuck.
Don't you? Yeah.
Like, it's still there, you know? Yeah. And it's because that's what I do. Like, I work organically. So I will write 10,000 words on top of this and then delete it, because that was 10,000 words of development.
Harry's a many draft guy.
And then working it back and peeling it back in layers, like onions.
Do you start from the beginning of the story though?
Yeah, I do tend to try and write
linearly.
But yeah, I tend to write in a linear fashion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That was a clever workaround of that word, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Fashion. You did that. Yeah. You didn't have to add the Lee.
Didn't have to add the Lee. That's
nailed
brilliant.
It.
But yeah, I work that way. Because, what do you do with flash fiction? This sounds like such a naive question. But
flash fiction,
how
I can
does it work
do,
for you?
I can do beginning to end.
Do you have an idea, though?
Yeah.
Or do you actually just go like, oh, this is a cool simile?
Well, yeah, that's like I was saying. I start off with like a little... Or like just a combination of words that I really, really like. Hmm. Like the tomato guy one, I just really liked the idea of a man collecting absurd amount of tomatoes and his wife being like, I have nowhere else to put tomatoes, right? Which sounds so stupid when spoken aloud. But
such a brilliant story.
Yeah, that's what I started.
Because it's absurdist.
It's absurd. But that's what I started with. So, but I wrote that beginning to end fine.
Yeah,
but I can't do novels the same way. I can't do what you do and write it linear. Like, this is chapter one. This is chapter two. I write scenes. I think that stems from writing flash fiction.
It probably does. But also, I think, like, I say this confidently now, going, I like to write in a linear fashion, ha, ha, ha. But I'm about a solid third into the book that I'm writing for the PhD, because I'm a many drafts person, as you know. I'm not just gunning ahead. This is how my process is. And it's fucking exhausting. So if you can untrain yourself from this type of process, I highly suggest to anybody that's listening that they do, because it's exhausting.
Do you want to explain the process in again. More detail?
I just write and throw down words onto a page and work everything out on the page.
Yeah. So Harry doesn't plan
don't
really
plan
at all.
At all.
And so he'll write a full draft, decide he doesn't like that draft, and start from the beginning all over again.
My thesis last year for honours, I wrote about six versions of the 10,000-word novella and very, very little of them had anything to do with each other. And it was all just part of the process. And I ran out of time and ended up handing up one that I wasn't overly happy with. Did all right with it, but fucking hate the story.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't get that 10th draft.
You needed like 50 more drafts and you would have been like, this is it.
I needed a solid three more rewrites.
At least
you've
got 3 years now.
Yeah, 3 years now for a 60,000 word novel. Yeah, can't fucking wait. But that's my process. And so I feel like being a third of my way into the novel now, I know that I'm not going to keep a lot of this.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of keep working. But I'm getting used to the idea of not writing linear. Because now I realize if I've got this really great idea, I should skip to it and then join in between, which is what I know that you do.
Yeah.
A couple of our colleagues do.
Yeah. I write scene by scene. So I'll have a scene where I'm like, oh my God, talking romance here. Like he gets stabbed and she has to look after him. Right.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, I love that scene. I'm going to write it right now rather than wait to get to it in, I don't know, 13, 14 chapters from now.
But see, I think this is because you're a planner. So you know your characters so that you can jump ahead and
mimic
their
emotion.
Yeah, I suppose
so. If you don't actually have any idea of
because I
what
have
they're
going to
be like in
go.
That time.
Yeah,
yeah
they're
right.
reacting on the spot when I write.
Yeah.
So I think that explains why I have to write in a straight and narrow fashion because they are reacting as I'm writing.
As you're writing.
Which means that they can't possibly skip ahead and be stabbed. because they haven't even had their popcorn chicken on the couch yet.
Yeah. You know, you're like, I have no idea how they would react to being stabbed because I'm not sure how their day went before that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe that explains it. And because you can write flash fiction, you think really fast and you think ahead. Mm. Like you've got this idea in your mind and then you run with it.
Yeah. So I just write all of these tiny scenes in that fashion and then I combine them.
Wow.
Yeah, I go back and I add the bits in between. And often you don't need the bits in between because they're the boring bits, right?
Yeah.
So, like, our supervisor always says, do not start your story with, I woke up in the morning, I had coffee, because we don't care. We do not care. We know you woke up in the morning and put on clothing because everybody does that. Well, you might not have.
Well, you might not have.
But if you haven't, that's a really important part of the story, right? Yeah. But if you've just done what everybody else does, then jump straight to the action. And so I find that in writing the tiny little scenes, I miss all of that other shit that doesn't matter and I just fill it in the gaps in between. But I know that Sean Williams, for example, he will not write those scenes he's really enjoying because it is like a reward for him to have made it through the rest of the novel to get that scene he loves.
Yeah, see, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I like the different ways that people approach this type of stuff.
Yeah.
It proves that there's not one way just to do this, right?
Oh, like, absolutely. There are so many ways to write. And ours are only one tiny sliver of how people write. But. Yeah.
But see, I feel like the downside to my writing style is that, one, it takes a lot of fucking time.
It does. It's very time consuming.
Two, I tend to lean into the boring shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting those exciting parts to piece them together. I could be 40,000 words into this novel in the next 2 months and I might realize that there's a fair slice of it that doesn't progress any of the plot.
Yeah, and it's just me something in the plot.
Developing the character.
Yeah.
Because I have to grow them.
Reading some of your work, it is developing the character, right? Like it's you working through how they react in certain scenarios, but none of those scenarios actually, like a readership might not care. They might not care about what is happening.
So, yeah, I feel like there's a downside.
Which I don't
to that.
Fully agree with because I think everything you've written is so important.
Oh, but there we go. See, I like that. See, it just shoves a compliment. Caveat. Caveat. I think you're brilliant. Just for the record, can you please keep doing this podcast?
Yeah, please don't.
Episode 4, and that's it. We've fallen out.
Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed the Whiny Writers.
Yeah, 4 episodes of Whiny Writers, and we're no longer friends.
No one cares about my fucking writing.
Sitting in a room for 2 hours together all the time is just too much.
Taking a toll. But yeah, see, I feel like we have such different styles of writing as well.
Well, even like perspective, right? When you're reading, what perspective do you like your books to take?
Oh, I love first.
Yeah. And so how do you write?
First.
Yeah.
Straight in the head, as close as possible to the character and their inner emotions.
And that's the reason why?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think I want to be right in that person's head. I want to hear all of the shit that goes on when
Does that help you connect to the character better 100%. When you're writing it?
Yeah. I think it also makes it quite, it's hard to describe. I think it can be a bit divisive.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I love it. That's my preferred perspective. And that's how I write as well. You're in his head. Every thought that's coming into his head is on that fucking page. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes means I fucking hate really good books because I fucking hate the character.
Yeah.
Because I like to be so close to them. And if I disagree with them or if I find them annoying and nagging, highly likely I'm not going to finish a book.
Right. Like those books that are in first person perspective and you're hearing all the shit that they're saying and you're like, I just don't care.
Like, can you just shut up?
Yeah.
But really, that's how I like to write.
See, I like a close third.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah, I love a close third perspective. Third because I can talk about so much else that's happening. Like I don't have to be stuck inside that character's head.
Yeah.
I don't like being stuck inside my own head, let alone someone else's.
Someone else's, yeah. Get me out of here.
Yeah, get me out of there. But I can still talk, because it's close, I can still talk about what they're thinking. But it gives me a bit more flexibility.
That's really fair, because you've got
that wider angle. Yeah.
First is hard to, it's hard to write well.
I've never tried it, and I props to you for doing it, because you do it really well.
Close third is also tricky, because you have to make sure that you're still positioning the character, right?
Yeah, you still know whose perspective you're seeing it from.
To focus on the character. Like when people go, great character development, I'm like, well, it's not that fucking hard when you're in the character's head.
Oh, but it is. It is.
Isn't that? Yeah.
I think so. Every time I try and do, I don't know, I'm just not good at putting character thoughts on the page in the way that you do. Like, I think you get
it's because they're characters are me though.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So you're just putting your thoughts on the page.
You know, like I'm just living out this dream when I'm writing. I'm fighting the dragon and my guy's thinking, fuck, this dragon's, well, he's really going for me. You know, like just shit like that.
Yeah.
I just think about what it would be like if I was to be fighting a dragon or if I was to be robbing a bank. What kind of stuff would go into my head? Obviously, it's super, like, it's hyper-focused.
It's hyper-real.
Yeah, hyper-real.
Yeah.
Bit technicolor. Sometimes my characters are a bit technicolor.
Novels are technicolor. Fiction is technicolor.
But I say, yeah. I feel like, I don't know. It feels like a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out at all. No, people love first person, particularly in romance, which is what you're writing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, I guess. I think it'll be interesting if I write 50 books like this and they'll be like, are you fucking serious? Like in every book, they'll be like, here he is again.
Yeah, because if you're using yourself, how are you going to change that up?
They'll just be autobiographies.
All autobiographies,
but in fictional settings. Yeah, fictional autobiographies. Like here he is, Harry in the Wild West. Harry in the Civil War.
Putting yourself in other scenarios. Oh, no. Are there particular like authors that are inspiring your writing? Like if you were to compare your writing to anyone, like, I know you would have used to have said Tolkien, but it's not really like that anymore, is it?
Yeah, I really did write a lot like Tolkien back in the day. My fantasy novel's very Tolkienian.
Yeah.
I'm very, like, George R. R. Martin.
Yep.
Without the rape and the sexual abuse. But, like, Christ.
Yeah, that aside.
Yeah, that aside, all those troublesome themes aside. Yeah, my old stuff's like that. But these days I think it's like, I'd say Sally Rooney.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In terms of that intense,
yeah,
like, discussion almost that she has.
Yeah, because Sally Rooney's at, like, third person and quite distant third, but really close third.
But really
it's like
close
a weird,
third. Yeah.
I don't know if anyone can ever do what Sally Rooney really does odd. In terms of, like,
or
perspective.
Emily Henry, like, I'm not saying my writing is like Emily Henry, but I am inspired by her.
Inspired by
her. Yeah, because she does that really good, less so in Book Lovers, more so in Happy Place. Her protagonist, Harriet, is you're in her head.
Yeah.
Like, you know exactly what she's thinking.
Yeah.
And I like that. Yeah. Because she's got that sarcastic, witty, like, not dark humor, but, you know, she says some shit and you've got it there.
Yeah.
The whole fucking time. You know, she's going like, don't fucking touch me. And all
that sort of stuff.
That.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know, I connect with that.
I can see that in your writing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go. Fuckitiness. The word of the day.
Fuckitiness.
Fuckitiness, yeah. It's one describing pessimism and get fucked, but all together.
Yeah.
Fuckitiness.
Fuckitiness. Harry loves a bit of fuckitiness in his writing.
I do like that. Yeah. And so I feel like at the moment, that book was was one of the first times I was like, yes.
Yeah, right.
Apart from that, it's TV shows that inspire me, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
what? Veep.
Oh, see, I've not seen any of these. It's going to be hard to find. Yeah.
Political satire. Right. She is, like, follows Vice President Selina Meyer, and she goes through her, like, as she's the Vice President of the United States, and she's going to try and run for president. And that's kind of roughly where the season goes as it goes on. There's 7 seasons.
You're looking for morally grey characters.
That close morally grey characters where you see, like, their thoughts are said aloud, which I find quite good. In the show, like pretty much everything they're thinking, they fucking say out of their mouths.
Yeah.
And some of it is foul, but I love it.
You kind of wish that you could do that, right?
Yeah, oh, fucking oath, all I do. But they never hold back. And it's entertaining because every single line in there matters. Mm. And that's kind of what inspired my current PhD novel.
Yeah.
Is the idea that every little screwed up thought that's in your head, obviously not anything dark or anything seriously.
Oh, like, yeah, it's just like wanting to kick a kid, that sort of stuff.
just the small stuff. Like,
just the small stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God. But, you know, like, simple stuff. Yeah. Like, my example is the trolley scene, which I've written. Yeah, and you've read that as well. Yeah. So he's in the supermarket car park, and an elderly woman's trolley is rolling away in the wind. Mm. And he thinks to himself, well, I'm not fucking helping. Like, why should I have to help her?
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I just don't have the energy for this.
Yeah. And so then.
And that's how the story starts.
Yeah, which is so much personality. See, I enjoy that. I don't think I get personality across as well.
Yeah, okay.
Without doing the first person. So that's why I think don't discredit yourself writing first person at all like you were doing.
It just seems easy when you're in that person the whole time. But that's why I find it so impressive that you can write that close third person because you have – you're not just seeing the world through their eyes.
Yeah, well, I think it's inspired by, like, high fantasy and fantasy writing because that's what I was reading a lot of. And they all – not all, but quite often they're writing third person.
Like A Court of Thorns and Roses is close third person, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I don't love that comparison.
I don't love the but you know what I mean, like in terms of that new modern.
You're really inside. I'm pretty sure it's third person.
You're in Feyre's head.
You're in Feyre's head, yeah.
But you're seeing the world.
Yes.
And also kind of bits of everything else following
as well. Yeah, yeah. Feyre. I feel like you can manipulate your readers really well, which is what something you can do as well because you're in their head, right? So they're not seeing and they're getting information wrong and they're not seeing
an unreliable narrator.
That's what I'm looking for.
Writing that.
And I think with a close third as opposed to a distant third, you can still be a little bit unreliable.
Oh, for sure.
Like I can give, my character's understanding of the world isn't the understanding entirely.
See? And then you can fuck around with that type of stuff as well. Yeah. And I also love third person, which I can't write overly well. I'm just impressed by third person because you usually get this context that the character isn't aware of.
Yes, yeah.
And I love giving, like, I love being, like, reading a book and then looking at a painting and then kind of learning about the painting. But I kind of feel like someone's whispering in my ear about it.
Yeah. See, in romance, I really enjoy a third person particularly because often they're in first person, your romances, because it's very character driven. I like a third person romance because I don't have to switch point of views to get everybody's perspective.
Yeah,
like if I'm following my female lead, I'm going to talk really heterosexual because that'll be what I'm coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm following my female lead and she's thinking something in particular about the male lead, they're in quite a cutesy scene, right? If I was only in first person, I only know how she feels. But when I'm in third person, I get a little glimpse of something that he's done and that he feels. Yeah. And I get a little like one-uppance on the female lead because I know he's into her too. She doesn't know that, but I know that he is.
That's such a good point because then you're not
without having
anything,
to without having to switch point of view because I don't enjoy reading. Sometimes I do, but I don't enjoy switching from her to him and her to him and her to him. I'd rather it be a bit more organic. Yeah,
I do. A pet peeve of mine is when you do that the switching of perspective, and it almost feels like an episode recap. At the start.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, last week on, Abby and Harry. And you're like, yeah, I know, because I just fucking read it.
I just read
like,
that, yeah.
You don't need to tell me that she's, you know, in the bathtub replying to your text
because
messages.
He just told me that she was
in the
bathtub.
Replying to your text messages. So can we start somewhere different?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I know that's such a basic thing.
Yeah, I think that they can be done well as well when they switch from he and her, but I just like, without having to switch between heads.
That's fair. See,
being in both.
I think that first-person romance really slays the game when it gets to the sex scenes.
Oh, okay.
Because that
do you think that's
like
a self-insert thing, though?
Yeah, that's like a self-insert thing. And I think that's when it works.
Right.
Like
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, that sounds like I'm like, you know, I love the sex scenes. Like, I just love them, bro.
We all read romance for a little bit of the sex scenes, though, don't we?
Yeah, but the spiciness associated with a good first person romance is hot.
Yeah.
Like it is. You're like, there is that self-insert thing in it, but there's also just, like, it's just enjoyable to read because you understand what it means for both of them through one person. And I think that's like what sex is like, right?
Yeah.
Like, in real life, it's you.
Yeah.
You can't really get inside somebody else's head. So you kind of just have to go, well, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, I'm not watching these two people having sex. I'm kind of part of the experience
in
a weird way.
Which feels really, that's a weird way to put it. Yeah, because you're right. Yeah, like I'm kind of joining, like, but it feels authentic, I think.
I know what you mean.
When it comes to third person sex, I feel like I'm just getting sex described to me.
Yeah, right.
I can't actually picture the sex. Mm. Yeah. But maybe that's just because I'm a self-insert person within, like, romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me because that would be why you're having so much trouble finding gay romance. That works for you,
right? That works, yeah, right?
Because it's not that self. You can't self-insert yourself.
Can't self-insert into most of it. Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's so interesting. Look at this. Being analysed. A therapy session.
Yeah, maybe. We really went deep into POV there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And we clearly got some issues with it. We've clearly
used some
POV.
Thoughts I didn't know I had on point of view.
Yeah, POV to really hash out some issues in our lives. Interesting. Let's go. Chat and shit. Messy as we just roll through the ideas.
That's going to come out in every episode, I think. Chat and shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a tagline. Wine writers. Chat and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the most recent... This is a question for you. I never ask you questions.
Go ahead.
What was the most recent piece of flash fiction that you wrote that you really, really enjoyed?
Well, I really enjoyed The Tomato Man.
Fair. I love The Tomato Man as well.
What did I call it? I call it Tommy Toes because that's what tomatoes are called.
Tommy Toes?
Tommy Toes is a word for tomatoes. Let me really quickly
Google
that. Is
that like colloquial? Do they just call them Tommy Toes?
I don't know. Tommy Toe is like an organic tomato.
What, like a type of tomato?
I don't know if it's a type of tomato. It's another word for tomato is Tommy Toe. That's what I called the thing. But I really liked that. I'm just trying to think of something else that I've written. I really liked the first chapter that I've written of my novel for this year.
Yeah, nice. You've done a lot of pre-writing for that, haven't you?
I have, yeah. And I liked the pre-writing.
See, that's interesting.
I liked that a lot more than what I'm writing now. Yeah. So that's, yeah, I guess so.
So I guess your pre-writing and my organic writing kind of work together.
They do, yeah. Because I'm still doing the work.
I'm just aware.
I'm aware that it's pre-writing. So pre-writing for me is taking scenes. So I'm doing childhood friends to lovers.
Yeah.
And so I'm writing scenes from their childhood in depth. And that's helping me build their characters now in the present a lot. So, pre-writing is a really big deal in my writing at the moment.
Yeah, but you do it.
And like, I think that's helping me develop the novel. And
do you
full
plan your pre-writing?
No.
No,
again,
so is that
very,
organic?
Very same. They're very the same as how I write my novel. Is I just have this scene in my head that I really want on the page, and it's from their childhood. So I'll write that. And during the process of writing that, I'm working out how my character feels. I'm working out what the environment was like for them in their childhood, and how it might have how the dynamic might have changed.
Wow.
So their dynamic when they're children and their friends is really different to how they are when they meet 10 years
later.
Well,
it would
be.
You'd mature and stuff.
Exactly. So by pre-writing, I'm learning more about my characters.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same, I guess.
Yeah, very similar, except I'm not writing like 50,000 word drafts of the same thing and then scrapping it. I'm just writing little scenes.
That's my fucking side of the bridge.
Yeah.
One I'd like to escape from.
Yeah.
But I can't.
So pre-writing is what I've been enjoying a lot at the moment.
So did you pre-write it all last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, for your...
No. I see what you're asking.
Live on the podcast.
Look, sometimes Harry talks and I look at him and go, oh, yeah. And then I immediately correct it with, sorry, Harry, I didn't listen to anything you just said.
I was just flapping. Yeah. The mouth was just flapping, bro. You did actually say that to me today. Abby and I were sitting in class and I spoke to her and she laughed at me. Then she leaned over and went, I didn't understand a word you just said. And I went,
I've just learned to adapt socially.
Just smile and wave. So maybe he'll shut the fuck up.
And I'm like, oh, yes. And then I go, actually, I really am interested in what Harry says particularly. So I should probably re-ask instead of just moving on.
But there you go. I'll swing the question in one more time. Did you pre-write it all last year?
No. That's the truth. No, I didn't. That one I wrote quite organically, which is weird now to look at it. But
is your flash fiction and short fiction organic writing as well? Like, do you just run with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's no pre-writing involved in any of that. It just comes out on the page. The pre-writing that I did last year was research because it was historical, and it was historical Josie, and so it was in a country that I'm unfamiliar. Like, I'm obviously not from there, so my research needed to be quite intense.
Yeah.
So that was pre-writing, I guess, was the research behind it. But I didn't pre-write anything before that.
It just flowed.
On the page. But that was scene by scene as well.
Because Abby's quite remarkable with this. I think this context is
Here's another
necessary.
One. I'm just going to have to do a counter, like a
Here
little ding every time Harry compliments
every time
me.
We can ding him. But I was going to say that it's quite remarkable because your first draft last year was pretty much what you handed up for your submission thesis.
Yeah, I don't want to toot any horns of my own.
But that's horn tootable, I think.
Yeah, I wrote one draft. It got edited once. I edited it and it went up.
Yeah. So that's remarkable because... Yeah.
But that's because I edit while I write.
Yeah. Well,
this is something else we can talk about as well. Yeah, I'm huge perfectionist and it comes out in my writing.
Because I'm messy as fuck.
Yeah, we're completely different in our writing styles. So I'm very, very perfectionist. I'll edit and it's a hindrance. Right. Sometimes because while I'm writing, I'm also wanting to edit the words I wrote 2 words ago. And then I'm like, oh, I don't think that's the right word. Let me Google a different word that I can use there. So then I'm off Googling a different word that I can use there. And then I come back and then I'm like, oh, an M dash will probably work a lot better in that sentence I wrote two sentences ago. And so I'm a really slow writer because I'm editing always as I go. So I think that's why my drafts come out a little bit more complete, is because I've already edited it like 50 times.
Yeah, you can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Like I wrote my first chapter and I've started the second chapter, but every time I open the document, I edit the first chapter. Like I can't look at it without wanting to edit
it. I'm great for a scroll. You know, like I'm like, I've written 10,000 words. Let's scroll right to the bottom and start writing again. And sometimes I don't even read my work. Yeah. And then I go through and read it all and I go, fuck, this makes no sense.
I was about to say, so when do you edit? Do you just edit at the end?
Edit at the end, yeah. Unless I'm not confident where the story's going, if there's something blocking the organic writing process, then I go through edit and read, because I'm trying to tidy it up just so that my brain is working. And then hopefully by the time I get to the bottom of what I've currently written, my brain's wired up and the motor's running, and then I can just run straight on from there.
Yeah.
Because I need to rebuild the character in my mind. I'm going, oh, fuck, I just can't remember what the hell he's doing, what the hell he's like, because I haven't looked at this draft that's saying like 6 months. Mm. And I'll be like, oh my God, let's go back. So at the moment I'm reading through my huge fantasy novel and that's got like 75,000-80,000 words.
Yeah, right.
Because I have no fucking clue what those characters are doing because they weren't planned.
Yeah.
They're organic.
You just did it from the beginning.
I just did it from the beginning. Like, they've been building themselves all the way
edited.
Through.
And yeah,
I'm like,
right.
Oh, so I'm editing through that so that I can realize and pick up where they were, what their voice was like. Because I got 8 characters in that book. Mm. And they're all like, that's chapter by chapter perspectives, like Game of Thrones. And it's really fucking hard now that I'm going back through it. I tell you, you know what? This process is shit.
You're like, hold on, I should just not be writing the
way that
I write.
Why am I doing any
what
of
the
this?
Fuck?
Every single time I've answered one of these questions, I keep going, oh God, yeah, it's fucking exhausting. Or like, wow, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
Shit.
My God.
Why am I doing that?
Maybe you should try writing like less. Have you done any pre-writing for this work? Or would you say that what you're doing now is pre-writing almost?
I'd say most of it's pre-writing.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that's hard. A solid half, I think, of what I've got written.
Do you think it's
will make it to the novel?
Yeah.
I'm
Do you think
really
it's a matter of kill your darlings, though?
100%.
Yeah.
Darlings need to be killed. Yeah. Heads chopped.
Heads chopped.
At least a leg.
Cut her. Yeah, you're like, oh, I don't want to cut heads.
I don't know if we can, I don't know if I can pull out hearts, but maybe I can remove some limbs.
Mm.
It's just a bit.
I do wish that I could do what you do, though, sometimes. I wish I could just fucking smash it all onto a page and go back and edit it later, because then I would have the words, right? It's better to have the words to edit than no words to edit.
I feel like I get that advice a lot. People going, oh, it's great that you can get the words down, Harry. But then there is a point that I do stop getting the words down.
Yeah. Because
and it's really fucking hard when you haven't planned anything to then go back organically and be like, shoot.
I would really recommend pre-writing.
Yeah, interesting. I do.
Do you know what you should
do? I've done pre-writing, but it's on cue cards.
Yeah. Do you know what you should do, though?
Like in the 90s. Yeah.
I think that you should, and this is just unsolicited advice that I'm now giving you on the pod.
Here we go. Live.
I think that you should go back, because you've got two characters, right, and they start in a relationship.
Yeah.
I think you should do pre-writing in that you write scenes from each of their perspectives when they live on their own, when they're not together. What were they like before they became partners?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I know quite a bit about your main character, but I know nothing about your other character, your love interest.
Well, that's funny, because neither do I.
Yeah, so I really think
he hasn't had his chance yet. He's not on the page.
Yeah, but whatever they were doing before, right, is going to affect how they behave
now.
And then how they approach the conflict that they come across later.
Maybe I should be, yeah, that's actually
a great idea. Even if it's just dot points, obviously don't fucking spit 20,000 words out of useless stuff that you're never going to use.
Fucking watch me.
Yeah. I know you will. That's why I had to give the caveat. If Amy's listening, I didn't tell him to do that.
For the record.
For the record.
Yeah, all that extra work you've just dumped onto everyone's plates. Yeah. You're like,
even just dot points, though. Maybe you should try some pre-writing. Just mix it up.
Such an interesting idea.
Yeah.
See, this is proof that you never stop learning.
No. And I could be spitting shit, as I said. It might not be
But
helpful.
This is, I think, why it's interesting. Because we have such different processes.
We do,
right?
Yeah.
But they might work for each other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe you're right. I'm in a rut at the moment. I haven't written a solid chunk of work in a couple of days. And that kind of sucks when you're on the roll and then you hit that, you know, that black moment.
When
you're like, fuck, the point of ritual death, to quote a Pamela Regis element. In romance.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about them, go and again, listen to our friends on Love on Canvas.
We're going to promote them a lot, I think.
Promote them a lot, yeah. They might even
Very
appear on the
podcast.
Yeah. But I feel like, once you reach that point, it's really hard to pick yourself back up when you're an organic writer. And that sucks.
So do you have any techniques in talking about that when you can't write, when you've hit that? Like, because this is one of the questions that, not that I've ever been on a panel where I've ever been asked questions by readers, because I don't have readers yet. But a lot of readers and new writers ask, like, how do you get over writer's block? So if you're coming up to that, like that wall, right, and you can't work past it, do you have anything that you do?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, I don't know if I believe in writer's block, which is quite controversial.
That is controversial. Yeah. In what way?
I don't know. I don't think there's ever a moment that people can't sit down and write. Mm-hmm. So I think when people say to themselves, oh, they're going to sit, like, oh, I just couldn't get any words on the page. Just nothing was happening today. I'm just like, maybe the environment was wrong. Maybe you were just in the wrong headspace. There was something else apart from it. But it's not a blockage
of
writing. Yeah. It's something else in your life. You know, go and have a wine. Go to the beach if you live near a beach, if it's not too hard to go to a beach. You know, go for a walk or just go out and socialise. Watch
change
TV,
up your environment.
Change up your environment. Change up your routine.
Yeah.
Just for a second, because there's something that's stopping you. And I don't think it's stopping you just from writing. I think if you went and tried to go and do another task, you know, like if you were having the writer's block, for some people it helps to go and cook. But if I can't quite get any words down on the page or something's not really working for me, if I go and cook, I'm probably going to make a shit meal because, like, that's also not going to help me.
Yeah. So if you're not in the mindset for cooking, then you're going to come up with just pasta and butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I probably would fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
So I think for me, if I think that I've got, say, writer's block, and if any, for those that can't see me, I'm doing my little quotation marks, my little
yeah,
efforts.
Yeah, he's doing little bunny ears for that.
Little bunny ears. But I just step away for a little bit, or I go back and I do my rereading because that's how I learn what I'm writing, because I learn as I go. So I have to go back and reread my work to realize, oh, that's right. Because there usually is somewhere along the way that I've hit that point and I know exactly how the story is going to finish and it's just in there somewhere and I've just got to reread it again.
Yeah.
And I've got to go, oh, you're right. Of course, it's going to end with the airplane, you know, the airport scene where they're running together, because I've just mentioned this bit here. And the reason I put it in there is because I was thinking about that airport scene.
Yeah, right.
So now I've got to run for it. So what about you as a planner? And somebody that does pre-writing, what's it like when you hit writer's block? Because do you plan around it, or then do you take a more organic approach and just realize, however I can get across this river, I'm getting across this river?
Yeah, I try and do the opposite of my process. So because I edit so, like, I'm so such a stickler for editing, I find it hard to get words on the page when I don't think that they're going to be perfect words,
which
is never the case in first drafts, right? They're all never perfect words. It's going to be entirely different four drafts down. So I change what I'm writing on. So I normally write on a laptop or something, right?
Yeah.
To put all my words down. But there is something so structural about a laptop, right? That's where you do your academic work. That's where you write your essays. That's where you, as a child or like during, it's quite privileged, but during like school and stuff, you had a laptop and you write all your work on a laptop.
Yeah.
So for me, that's where all the editing happens anyway. So I try and switch it up. So I move to my phone and I'll just open a notes in my phone and I start writing there instead. And in my notes, nobody's going to see it, even though no one's going to see what's on my laptop. But in my notes, it's me and it's private. And I can do it at 2 a.m. in bed because I don't have to pull up my laptop. So I will just pull my phone out and I spill into my phone and I don't edit the same way that I do.
I was
going
to say, it doesn't need to be perfect when it's on your phone.
It doesn't need
to. Or is it messy?
No, it's messy.
It's messy.
There is an imperfection because I can perfect it when I rewrite it from my phone to my laptop. Laptop
is a perfect chance to perfect it, isn't it? As well. Because the idea is there.
It's all already there. So that's how I overcome. If I hit a block, I'm like, well, I haven't tried writing that scene on my phone yet. So I'll write it on my phone. And then if that's not working, very much like what you said, I need to walk away from it because obviously something in my environment isn't working.
And I understand that doesn't work for everyone. There are people that are on deadlines that just have to push through it. They just have to drag themselves through the mud, right?
Yeah.
But so far for us who have written, I've had, like I said, I don't really believe that writer's block is a thing. I think it's something else in your environment, something else in your world that's causing an issue. But I've had that kind of blockage when I'm writing short fiction.
Yeah.
Where you just can't, like, just, it's just not working.
It's just, for some reason, the words aren't going together on
but
the page.
But I think people think writer's block is genuinely when you just can't get a word on the page. But I also would define something like writer's block or as some sort of blockage in my world as writing thing, like writing, but it just being crap.
Yeah.
You know, like when you know, and you hear a lot of people that go, oh, an author will always think their own work is crap. But you know when it is really shit.
Oh, you know when you're putting something down on the page.
And you're
that
like,
is
what
just,
is this?
Or like you reread something and you're like, oh my God, that's actually terrible.
I cannot believe that
I
just wrote
that. I believe
that.
I can write well. Maybe not like really good, but like I can write well. And that is shit.
That is shit, yeah. Like that is unbearable to read. Yeah. So I find that interesting.
But we are at 45 minutes.
Did 45 minutes. See, look at us.
I know.
We just run through this
shit.
We
spent the whole time trying to work out what we were going to talk about this episode, and it's just gone.
And it just goes. We
just goes,
you know,
really
yeah, it's organic.
We're 20
minutes
over our time
using
in the room.
My process for this.
Organic.
Well, yeah.
Well, the pod is an organic thing.
Because we're just talking,
there's
right?
no pre-writing for the pod.
There's no pre-writing. Yeah.
And that works.
Do you want to wrap us up?
I will.
I got a bit sad last episode, so I think this time you should bring us.
You did get a bit
bring
sad
us home
last
with a happy
time.
Note. Yeah.
Well, on that note, we've talked about how we write and how to get over writer's block, and I'm sure our writing is going to come up more and more as we continue. We can check back in maybe in a few months' time on how our novels are going and how our writing process has worked. Maybe Harry has tried to pre-write a little bit by then, and we can check in and see how that's going.
I'm
going to
give it a go. I think it's a little experiment.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that if you're following along with us on any of our socials, tell us how you write.
Yes, tell us how you write.
Or if you think all of this just sounds absolutely absurd, and you say, how do you write like that?
Yeah.
You're never going to finish a novel, you two. We'll just say, you're probably right, but we'll get there in the end. So yes, tell us how you write and what your process is, because there's a million different ways to do what we do.
Awesome. On that note, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Next week, hopefully, we'll have a guest, I think, is our plan.
A special guest yet to be announced.
Yet to be announced and yet to be organised on our end, but...
Classic.
Classic. But should be fun. So thank you and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.